Hey, Bears fans, this is Cole Wright from Marquee Sports Network. Now, we know you can never get enough Bears, so join us Tuesday for Bear Essentials, a recap of this week's Bears action and analysis of the week ahead. Then, we'll re-air this week's Bears game at 7 o'clock on Marquee Sports Network.
Waddle and Sylvie.
Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
All right, Dave Revson has been at the Big Ten Network since they've been in existence. He has been a frequent guest of football season after football season on the Waddle and Sylvie show. We did not know at one point if there would even be a Big Ten season, so that's why you don't hear him weekly. But we thought, hey, we miss Dave, we love Dave, and yes, there are great games going on this weekend, big topics to discuss. Who better to have on than our old buddy Dave Revson, who joins us right now on the Corona Hotline. How have you been, Dave? We've missed you.
Likewise, fellas. Doing great. I think the operative question is how you are, Sylvia. You sound great, man.
I feel good, you know. And look, you know a thing or two, too, about something hitting you out of the blue and not expecting it and how it could change everything. But right now, I feel as good as I have felt in a good 6 months, 8 months. So thank you for asking.
All right, my friend. Great to hear.
Let's start with, and as we talk about sports perspective, this is all within the sports context. This was a dream match with Harbaugh and Michigan. Everyone loved it. It was perfect for everybody. But it doesn't look so perfect anymore. Are you convinced that we're nearing the end of Harbaugh and Michigan?
Well, I think that would imply that it's going to come this year. And so I'm not 100% sure it would come this year. He still has another year left on his contract, which the whole contract thing is a little odd. I mean, it's not typical that a college football coach would be brought up to the final year in his contract. I mean, normally you would do what we call the fake extension in the business, where you say, you know, it's been extended 5 years, but you don't change the buyout and you don't change any of that. But for whatever reason, I guess that hasn't happened. So whether or not it would end this year, whether he'd get another chance in kind of a more normal environment, but it's certainly not trending in a great direction. I mean, you know, these last couple of weeks here, really the last three games to me, have just been staggering. I mean, in hindsight, losing to Michigan State, this is just not a good Michigan State team, as we've seen. And then, I mean, just non-competitive against Indiana and Wisconsin, just absolutely run over. The secondary looks lost. I mean, Don Brown's defense has kind of been the thing that they've hung their hat on, but it's a mess. So it is really not going well. As to whether it ends this year, Sylvie, or whether it gets another shot next year, you know, I don't know.
Reverend, why has he struggled? I mean, it's a struggle, and it has been for a while offensively for him to find a quarterback and develop that quarterback and have this offense really click. And why has that been such a problem for him at Michigan?
That is the big question, Tom. I mean, right, he's supposed to be a quarterback whisperer, and he's gone through, you know, a couple different offensive coordinators. He's had Josh Gattis in now for the last 2 years, and it felt like last year they had gotten a little bit better. It felt like kind of conceptually, at least you had a sense of they knew what they wanted to do, but they're just not explosive. I mean, I think part of it is a function of who he has around him. They don't really have a great running game. They had some talented wide receiver last year that moved on, Donovan Peoples-Jones and Nico Collins, Tariq Black transferred. But, yeah, I don't think it's as simple as kind of if there's just one thing. Is it just the quarterback? Shea Patterson was a five-star kid who everyone wanted, transferred from Ole Miss. I mean, that was supposed to be the guy. It just feels like it's more systemic than that. You know, to me, it just feels deeper. Because if you go through recruiting rankings, like, they have a lot of really heavily recruited kids.
Right.
So it's not as if he is not succeeding on the recruiting trail in the eyes of the analysts and in the eyes of other coaches who have offered the same players that Michigan ends up getting. So, but there's just something, there's a disconnect, there's something wrong there. And look, they lost a ton. Like, they lost four offensive linemen to the NFL this year. Like, this was going to be a challenging year, I think. You know, only LSU had more players drafted than Michigan did last year, and we see what's happened to LSU. But Ohio State had the same number of players drafted, too, and they're not having the same problems. There's just not, you know, the next guy isn't there, and frankly, they weren't that great last year. You know, they were a 9-4 team. So if you were losing 10 guys in the NFL draft and you were coming off a really good year and you had beaten Ohio State and all those things, maybe people would be more understanding. But it's pretty staggering. You know, you've lost 15 or 16 now to Ohio State. He's never beaten them. It's just hard to find something positive you can point at there.
Dave Revson joining us. It's Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000. So we still get calls about Harbaugh and the Bears, because who knows if the Bears could use someone now. And I know that's not your department, Dave, but just by watching his games, if someone asks you the question, can Jim Harbaugh coach still? How do you answer that?
Ooh, Sylvie, that was a good question. Am I really qualified to answer that? I don't know. Look, I don't think that he is a bad coach by any stretch. Part of the problem is timing here, right? So, Ohio State is just on an unbelievable roll. And so he had the misfortune of going up against Ohio State at a point where they are rocking and rolling like they haven't in a long time. You know, if you look at Michigan before he got there, they, in his 5 years, they have finished now in the top 20 four times in his 5 years. They had one AP top 20 finish in 7 years before he got there. So 1-7, 4-5. So it's indisputable they're better. It's indisputable he has moved the program along. So I don't want to say, this guy coached a team in the Super Bowl. Like, it's not as if this guy doesn't know what he's doing. It just, for whatever reason, and maybe it is the misfortune of timing, maybe it's just little circumstances here and there where you miss on a guy, you think you have a back and you don't, and all of those kinds of things that just kind of add up. And frankly, I think Don Brown's defense has been a mess. You know, like, he brought in this guy who, you know, blitzes from every direction, and when they have better talent than the other team, they overwhelm them, and so they beat the teams that they have better talent than, typically, not this year. And that has been the case for most of their time in the Big Ten. And then they run into Ohio State, and they run into the bowl game where you face teams with equal or, you know, usually better talent than you. And they pick up your blitzes, and they challenge your corners one-on-one, and you get burned, and you give up big plays. It's like the same thing. It's a broken record over and over.
It seems
so.
Okay.
Yeah.
No.
Maybe just stubbornness. I don't know what the issue is here.
I was just going to say, and I apologize for interrupting, but it seems as if from a distance here, sitting where I sit, it seems like people enjoy kicking that Michigan team when they're down as well. Is that a fair statement to say?
I mean, I think other fans in the Big Ten do.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I think that's – but I think it would be the same thing if Ohio State were down. I think there are people right now taking pleasure in Penn State being down. I think Michigan has still won more Big Ten championships than any team, and they are still the winningest program in the history of college football. And so I still think there is a mystique to them and an allure to Michigan football that, yeah, like when you beat them, yeah, it's still a big deal to beat the wing helmet, no question.
So let's talk about something positive, and that's a 4-0 Northwestern team. Are you surprised that they haven't looked as good as they've looked so far this year?
Not really. You know, it's interesting. I was interviewed for a Sports Illustrated story this week where they were talking about Northwestern. And, you know, I'll say to you guys what I said to them. The aberration to me was last year. You know, like that they were so bad last season. I mean, they won the Big Ten West 2 years ago. They lost one game in the league narrowly. They were winning the entire time and then lost to Michigan at the very end. And they beat every team in the West. So I guess to me, no. Like, I think, you know, he has a really good program. Am I surprised they're 4-0, like, based on what happened last year? Yeah, I mean, I guess a little bit. But am I surprised that, like, a Northwestern program could be ranked 19th and 4-0 and going into a big game? No, I mean, they've been ranked at some point in the season, I think 7 of the last 14 seasons. So, like, every other year, they have a year like this, on average, where they're really good, and they're in the national conversation, and they're playing in big games. And this happens to be, you know, the first really big game of the year.
Wisconsin's really good, aren't they?
I think they are, Sylvie, yeah. Now, Wisconsin has not played the caliber of competition that Northwestern has. They played Michigan, and they played Illinois. You know, Northwestern's played some really good teams. I mean, the four teams they've beaten are 7-2 in games other than the game against Northwestern. I mean, they pummeled Maryland, who has turned out to be very good. But this is a different challenge. Wisconsin's really good on defense. The issue with Northwestern still is they really can't stretch the field. They're just not dynamic on offense. They got a great transfer quarterback in Peyton Ramsey. The new offensive coordinator, Mike Bajakian, has done a very nice job. But they don't have someone who puts pressure on the defense. They don't have a home run hitter over the top or in the backfield. And so people, you know, they play the whole game in kind of a compressed 15 yards around the line of scrimmage. And I think that's a hard way to win against Wisconsin. Wisconsin plays the same way, but maybe is a little bit more dynamic. So, but look, guys, I mean, this is the crazy stat of the year. The last 27 games against Wisconsin, including tomorrow. So this will be the 27th straight game. The Northwestern has been the underdog against Wisconsin, and Northwestern has won 12 of the previous 26 straight up.
Wow. That's amazing stat.
That is.
I want to ask you about the Indiana-Ohio State game. And first thing I want to veer towards is Tom Allen, because first of all, I'm not, as you know, the biggest college football fan, okay?
Right.
And when I am spending time watching college football in the last few years, I have not watched a lot of IU football.
All right.
Though they were better last year, but the Tom Allen story has fascinated me with his son getting hurt last week, with the way he acts on the sideline and what he's done with this program. It's a pretty impressive story, is it not?
It is. He's an amazing guy. I mean, this is an Indiana guy. This is someone who has really paid his dues. I mean, a decade ago, he was a high school coach at Ben Davis High School and, was working with troubled students. And that was a big part of kind of what moved him and motivated him. And then he decided to try the college ranks. He's kind of gradually moved his way up. And then Kevin Wilson hired him as his defensive coordinator. And then Kevin Wilson had like kind of an uncomfortable departure, as you guys may remember, from IU. And they promoted Tom Allen. And I think a lot of people looked around and thought, really? You know, like, guy's never been a head coach at the college level. But he has been amazing. He wears his heart on his sleeve. Incredibly emotional guy. And he believes in his guys. And he's done a nice job with recruiting. And they've got some dynamic skill. And they've gotten better on defense, which is the area where they've really struggled. But, guys, I mean, it's crazy. Like, Indiana is never in games like this. This is a top 10 matchup tomorrow. This is the 99th top 10 matchup in Ohio State history, where both teams are in the top 10. It's the second in Indiana history.
Wow.
They had one in 1967.
Wow.
I mean, it's absurd, right? It's absurd how long it's been. They have historically been far and away the worst program in the Big Ten. They're the losingest program in the history of college football. They have the most losses of any team. So this is an amazing story, what he's done there.
Did they run into a buzzsaw tomorrow at Ohio State?
I'm afraid they might.
Yeah.
The only thing I would say is IU hasn't really played anyone. And just because you haven't played anyone doesn't mean you're not good. You play who's on your schedule. We all know that. But, you know, wins over Penn State and Michigan don't look as good as they looked at the beginning of the year. I do think they're really good. I think Ohio State's really good, too, although Ohio State has some limitations, guys. They don't have the run game they had a year ago, and they have struggled a little bit in coverage this year. So I don't think it's out of the question that Indiana would win, but Ohio State, there's a reason Ohio State's a prohibitive favorite.
Reverend, where does Justin Fields stack up, in your opinion, with some of the other fantastic Ohio State quarterbacks?
I mean, he's absurdly good. The guy has accounted for 13 touchdowns and thrown 11 incompletions in 3 games. He's accounted for more touchdowns than he's thrown incomplete passes. His arm is fabulous. I think on passes thrown over 30 yards down the field, he's 5 of 6 this year. So really accurate, really good arm. He can run. I mean, he's just fabulous. He's an unbelievable kid. It would really surprise me if, you know, I mean, I you know, how does he stack up? Trevor Lawrence. I mean, I know there are going to be some big names in this draft. But, I mean, if he's not the first guy taken, he's the second guy taken.
Right.
He's that good.
Rever, great stuff. It was great to catch up with you.
Yes.
Enjoy the weekend, okay?
Thanks, Rever.
All right, guys. Yep, have a great Thanksgiving. Good to talk
you
to you, fellas.
Check him out on the Big Ten Network.
He owns
absolutely
the network.
Yeah, he's absolutely awesome. We always say he's the president, co-founder, creator, everything. All right, coming up next, are the Cubs going to go through another rebuild, this time with Jed Hoyer at the helm? Do they have a shot at competing, or are they selling everything? That discussion coming up next.
Waddle and Sylvie, weekdays, 2 to 6.
Follow on Twitter at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87. ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
A lot going on today. Not only is it a football Friday, we've got NBA free agency starting shortly here. Bulls are going to be picky.
We need a guard.
Yes, the Bulls need a guard.
Got one on your brain?
Don't know. I don't know. Like he said, he's going to be picky. I don't think he wants to do anything to hamstring them for the future. You got to have your ducks in a row for next year, a better free agent
year. Yeah, I'm a patient Bulls fan right now. I'm ready to just sit back, and whatever happens, I'm cool with. And
is there, before we get into the Cubs really quick, because I want to play you what Buster had to say. Black, is there another veteran-type point guard on the market who could make some players better who are younger, where you kill two birds with one stone? And I don't want to say CP3-like, because he's a rarity, but and I don't want Rondo again. Is there a veteran point guard out there that could fit the Bulls' mold?
As a playmaker, probably not. I would look at Etuan Moore, though.
Return him to the
Bulls? Arturas said that they need shooting. He's a good shooter from the outside to help stretch the floor as a backup point guard. Yeah, yeah. And he played really well there after he left here the first time. So I would, like, that's the price range you're going to have to shop in, too. Like, you're not going to be able to go after top line free agents. So you kind of look for these bargain deals and try and figure that out like that. I would go for that.
Got a trade in mind too. That could be possible, but we will wait and see. So that's that. There's football, there's basketball, then there's some Cubs stuff.
Ooh.
A couple of things caught my ear and my eye this last 24 hours. This was pointed to me where Buster Olney, and he's been saying this for the last few days in not only articles and on the air, but he's just doesn't think it's going to, like, they were selling us earlier when Theo was still here and he met the media after the season that, remember, Theo was like, there's a needle you can thread here where you can retool, but yet compete this year for a division title. You know, he says it's really tough, but you can do it. And it's sounding less and less like that's even what they want to do right now. Take a listen to Buster Olney.
Major changes are imminent for the Chicago Cubs, who have indicated other teams they are open for business. They're looking to cut payroll. Think about a guy like Chris Bryant, who is eligible for arbitration during the course of this winter. The Cubs have to make a decision by December 2nd whether to tender him a contract. Other teams are wondering if the Cubs are simply going to let him go. Outfielder Kyle Schwarber is someone who may be non-tendered. Shortstop Javier Baez is available. The Cubs tried to sign him last spring. They didn't work out a deal. Other teams say that the Cubs are willing to deal him. And maybe most surprisingly, Yu Darvish, who was a Cy Young Award finalist. The Cubs have indicated other teams, look, if you have a good offer for us, we're willing to talk business because we're looking to cut payroll.
Whoa!
It's awful when I hear that.
Well, Yu Darvish, listen, as good as he was, he probably brings you the most in return, right? Because he's in a team-friendly, so to speak, deal.
I know, but how many teams out there, and Yu Darvish is a pretty good deal these days. That's remember right, for what he signed for.
It's like 25 a year, right?
Right, but how? But are all these other teams looking to add payroll? Like, they're in a tricky spot because, A, they're looking to eliminate payroll when other teams are looking to eliminate payroll. B, like, they're even thinking about just releasing Chris Bryant and not tendering him?
When we talked about this, was it last week or earlier in this week, I asked you that question. You know, do they even tender him?
It's terrible business. It's bad business to get pennies on the dollars for players who were important and had a good value.
Well,
at
that's
one
not
time.
Getting anything. I mean, if you,
you can't
don't tender
give away
him,
players.
If you don't tender him, does he become on baseball
yes,
rules or different?
Yes.
He's just a free agent.
Yes.
So he reached free agency in the year that he actually, with the benefit of hindsight, if that would happen, he would have reached free agency in the year he was scheduled to before the the Cubs artificially suppressed him.
You did to suppress him to keep him for this year. And I understand COVID is hard on everybody and that they've lost money. But how are you just going to give players away?
How do you not just – okay, so if he goes to arbitration, let's just say it's $20 million, right? Probably.
Yeah, at least. I think it's 22, 21.
Okay.
So, yeah, somewhere in there.
How do you not – how do you not pay that? And then you can you could always trade him, although he'll be going into his free agency. But you could get something for him at the trade deadline at that point, couldn't you?
I am kicking the can down the road, and I am hopeful that maybe with the vaccine coming, that sometime in the summer, fans will be back at ballparks. You know. Even if it's in the second half.
No Javi
buy. Well, like you're and again, like if you are gonna trade Javi, are you really getting a lot for him? Like are they just trading him to trade him to get rid of the salary? Like and that to me sounds terrible.
Well you'd have to I mean he's our arbitration as well, right? Or is he on a deal?
I think I'm not positive about him. I think he needs to be tendered too. Is
right.
he a year
That's
out?
What I thought. I thought they were on the same plane contract wise, Javi and Chris Bryant.
I am not trading guys just to trade them, and I would. So what I was saying is, I would keep them, and I would hope things would get better in midsummer, and fans can come back, and you can start getting some revenue, and then teams, as they let fans in and they're in it, would be more open to giving up better return for a player to win it all.
Yeah, Javi's not free agent until 22.
Okay, so it's 22. Most guys are 21.
But my
Rizzo's
point is,
got 1 year left. They picked his up.
But my point is Javi didn't sign a long deal, no. right? He's just goes to arbitration every year. So my point is if you don't offer them an arbitration, they just become free agents, right? So then you get nothing for them. Am I right? Is that how the baseball mechanism works? Is that correct?
We have to talk to Jesse or somebody, and we'll figure
that
out.
Like, listen, then if that is the case, you're getting nothing for them. Are you not going to tender also Schwarber?
Well, but even if you do tender him and then you just trade him for, like Jesse has used the phrase, you trade him for pennies on the dollar.
Better than nothing.
Just, well, yeah, but I'd rather, like, come on now. What are you doing? You're having a former MVP and you're just giving him away?
Chris is looking up stats, but I'll give you the bum bum.
Is there a chatter?
That's MLB hot chatter. According to John...
That didn't sound like MLB hot
chatter. John Morosi of the MLB Network, he literally tweeted this out 2 minutes ago. 2 minutes ago. The Nationals are considering a trade for Chris Bryant, among other numerous hitters. They're currently monitoring the market. Free agent DJ LeMahieu is another option that he reported earlier today on the MLB Network.
So what you would have to do is offer him, right? Because you can't trade him if he's arbitration eligible and you don't offer him
up.
Arbitration. So you'd have to come to terms with him on a deal.
Or tender him.
Or tender him.
Just to, you know, and then... And then you trade him. I mean, that's coming up. What did he say, December 2nd's the deadline?
I thought it would be one or the other with him or Baez. I didn't think it would be both.
Yeah, then if you're getting rid of Darvish, I guess you don't want to do anything halfway, do you? Like, if you're going to get rid of Bryant and if Baez is on the market and you may let Schwarber just walk.
But your problem is, and Theo even, I think, referenced it when he talked to Cap and Jay Hood, is, like, they're not stocked in their minor league system right now, right? So, like, it could be a long slog because if you trade these guys, you're not going to get top dollar for them. So, like, there's a chance if you do dismantle this that you could be in a valley for a while.
Are they hoping that they'll replace the guys they don't tender with other guys who weren't tendered either at a lower cost and that there could be good buys out there? Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, like, I know what you mean. I mean, like, you're...
Like, why pay Schwarber $11 million if most guys like him with those stats after they're not tendered, they're going to sign, like, $1 to $2 or $3 million deals? because of the because who's buying for like a mid-level player?
Well, you're
right
rolling
now.
The dice. Yeah, you're rolling the dice that you're going to find good talent for a lower price.
I just don't like you built this to what? To just give it away? Like that's what you're going to do? Like at least back in the day, like you were able to get for Ryan Dempster, you got Kyle Hendricks.
Why are you tearing it down? Strictly because of financial issues?
Sounds like it, yeah. It sounds like this isn't to make them the best team. That otherwise, I bet you if it wasn't for COVID, they'd find ways to make some shrewd moves and continue to tweak this team.
Is the debt service so
yes,
overwhelming that...
Cap said they're $1 billion in debt.
Biblical losses!
Well, biblical! It is a billion. If they're $1 billion in debt...
Think about it. When you play Monopoly and you buy all the hotels and everything, it's expensive. There's no one coming around the board to land on your spot with the hotels.
It's a good analogy right there. Right? No one's coming around for the hotel these days.
You're just sitting there with a bunch of hotels and a bunch of buildings.
I think if you open the doors, you'd fill it, but you're not allowed to open the doors.
But at the moment, you are not. No one's going around the board.
312-332-3776. And if you want to weigh in on this Cubs topic, it's amazing. And there's some chatter out there about Chris Bryant as well. It just sounds like for sure he's
gone.
Good
time to beat a home for the White Sox.
Like, you would put all the money down right now on Chris Bryant not being here, right? It's just a matter of how they're going to do it.
I mean, where there's smoke, there's got to be some fire, right? And this smoke's been kind of, we've seen it for a while.
All right, and then our football picks, and we hit... We got our Thursday. We got our Friday picks in on Thursday.
You need to go get yourself a drink after hearing that Cubs news, Cub fan. Just saying, you allowed to have one on Friday?
No, I'm saving it for tomorrow.
All right,
I only could drink two times a week.
All right, I'll drink one for you.
Thank you. Our football picks coming up next.
Coming up next,
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Waddle and Sylvie with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Let me take Andrew and Elgin, and then we'll get to Like It, Love It in our football picks. Andrew wanted to talk about our Cubs discussion. Andrew, you're on with Waddle and Sylvie. Good evening.
Hey, happy Friday, guys. I just wanted to say, Sylvia, I haven't called in a while, so I'm glad you're doing well, my friend.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Yeah, I just, like you, you know, I really love the Cubs a lot. You know, it's just, you know, all the guys, I'm sure you feel the same way. I want to say two things. I don't know why you have to blow it up for money. Like you said, like, I understand maybe getting rid of Chris Bryant, right? I mean, think about who you're going to, like, you know, and then, like, what are you saying to Anthony Rizzo, you know? And then, like, you know, he's the captain. And then, you know, Javi Baez is like he's a fantastic, fun player to watch, even though he had a bad season. So, like, and Schwarber hits 30 home runs. So, like, tell me, Sylvie, what am I supposed to think here? Why do you have to give up? Have a good day, guys.
Thank you. They're in a spot right now where the owner hasn't been giving them money in good times. And now we're in this bad time, and he wants to get the books back in order and to get the minor leagues built back up, I would think.
Theo left in the right moment, didn't he?
And a lot of people think he left on purpose.
Well, I don't think that's a negative on him. I'm just saying, like, well, if he's not going to be here past next year, then why give him the authority or have him in charge of making decisions that
really
will last?
Good.
Right, but if he's going to make decisions that are going to last longer than his tenure in town, I understand why they decided to part ways. So, I mean, like, when he decided that this year was when he was going to step away, you had to connect those dots, didn't you? That massive change was on the way, like, immediately.
I didn't think massive change. Really? Like, this is surprising to me.
No,
that they
I'm
could
with
all
Waddle that if you're going to start a rebuild and you're going to trade away guys while they still have some value to shore up that farm system again, why would Theo stick around just to be hovering over Jed's shoulder for 1 year when he's going to be gone after this year.
Right. If you were going to go, you know, try to patchwork it a little bit and give it one more go.
Yeah.
Like they said last year.
That's what he's best at.
Well,
that's the only reason. He's not Ryan Pace. Where, like, the other day I said, well, look, Ryan Pace could be making a quarterback decision. You fire him a year later. Like, I'd rather have Theo and Jed work in tandem.
Right.
And say, this is what you're really good at.
But this is the I think, the breadcrumb that leads you to believe that massive change is coming, because maybe if Theo had the budget or he had the go-ahead from ownership to do some of that, he would have stayed for his final year. But maybe Tom Ricketts said, look, I don't have any resources and we got to move guys. And that would mean that it's probably the right time to make this decision. And
all right, let's get to our football picks with Like It, Love It.
I like it. I love it.
Just a little taste of it.
Like it. I love it. I want some more of it.
Waddle and I won the Thursday night game last night with the Seahawks pick.
What's cool about that is it doesn't matter, because we're looking at last week where Waddle went 0-3. And guess who else went 0-3? Sylvie went 0-3.
But we're 1-for-1 so far this week.
Chris Black went 2-1. And guess
who? Wow, Black has passed me up.
Went 3-0.
Okay, so are you tripping again?
Give us the standings.
No, I'm just pointing out the standings. The standings, Waddle has 35 points.
What's my record?
17-11.
Is that accounting last night?
17-11-2. Sorry,
no, it's not.
No, this doesn't count. Next week counts next week. Okay. I have 34 points. I'm in second place. I'm 17-13. So we have the same amount of wins. Just so you know, we have the same amount of wins, Waddle.
How many
so
points?
What, you're one point than? Back.
I'm 1 point back. Black has taken a 5 point lead. He is 26 points, 12-18. Sylvie is 12-17. He has 21 points.
Yeah,
coming for you guys.
Yeah,
long season.
I go last here. Waddle, you still have
it's
the
gonna be. I can't wait to bother you guys on the Friday after Thanksgiving and get your picks.
I hate those. Don't forget to like and love the picks.
I gave you my like. My like was last night.
No, I'm saying for next week. We could just take next week off. I don't care.
No.
Okay, remember this.
Well, just
when I text you Friday morning,
and I'll give you my picks.
Okay.
It's not like I'm outside digging, you know, digging a ditch.
Mm-hmm.
I'm giving you picks, not digging a ditch.
You said picks.
Giving you my picks.
Ditch.
Go ahead.
Quit looking at my picks. My like was last night. It was the Seahawks. Cha-ching.
Cha-ching.
Back to you.
Gentlemen, we go to Saturday. A battle in the SEC, Georgia and Mississippi State.
Is anybody healthy enough to play this weekend?
Will they play? Won't they play? We might have some makeup plays. Who knows? But all I know right now is this is a battle between the 4th and 10th most efficient defenses in college football. The total is 44.5. I believe that Mississippi State won't even score in the game. So I'm going to take the under in this game, 44.5. That's what I like.
Ooh, the under in an SEC game. Boy, that's gutsy.
Best defenses in the SEC.
That's gutsy, though.
Black, what do you have?
I like that he's suggesting there's going to be a shutout. That's fantastic. Yeah. An entire college game. This will be a shutout. My like is, let's go to the... Right? You like that too, Otto.
Yeah.
3 o'clock on Sunday, the Dolphins at the Broncos. I think the Broncos are worse than they appear as the record. They're one of the worst teams in the NFL.
Ever.
I'm going to ride with Tua in that Dolphins defense, minus the 3.5 on the road. Give me the Dolphins as my like.
Yeah, they're a good team too. They're better than a lot of people think. I'm going to go to the Vikings. The Vikings are a 7-point home favorite against the hot garbage Dallas Cowboys. We know that the Vikings right now are making a run. We saw it up close and personal. These are huge games for them. They're hoping to get back in the postseason picture. So give me the Vikings. -7 is my like.
Yeah, that's a good pick. My love is the Chiefs. What are they giving that sickly Raiders team? 8?
Yes.
That's fine. Chiefs got revenge on the brain. They may win by 40.
Going to take a few laps outside the stadium.
Yeah, I love the Chiefs -8 in Las Vegas.
Last week, Waddle hated on my love and my taste.
Yeah, you did.
Oh, you're like, what do you know about that team? They only played one game.
You had a bunch of hate.
Oh, did you did. Yeah. You hated on my Oregon
hate-filled.
Pick. Yeah, so guess what? I love Oregon -17.5 against UCLA.
Boy, I bet on them a little bit, and I was dog-cussing you where I was sitting after the first half.
So hold on a second. You trashed my pick, and then you bet it anyway?
Yeah, I'm an idiot gambler.
Okay, you won. You're welcome.
Dig out gambler.
I'm an idiot gambler.
Like SP that. Plus has this as a 21.5-point spread. Action Network has this as a 23-point spread. Oregon's averaging 8.1 yards per play. UCLA allowed 48 points to Colorado, and they beat Cal, but Cal had like five guys playing because of COVID. So I'm not going to I'm not going to give them any credit for that. So I love Oregon minus 17.5.
Right. Black.
All right, so for my love, did you guys see during the week this story out of Philadelphia with Carson Wentz, that he's a bad practice player, and that has led into them playing poorly offensively?
Bad game day player, too.
Yeah, and then Carson Wentz got a little snippy with the media because they were following up on the story that he is practicing poorly, and that's why they have sucked this season on offense. They're playing the Browns. And they are the underdog, so the Eagles are getting 3 points on the road at the Browns. I'm taking the Eagles.
Wow.
You think that this is where you jump and bury the Eagles? I'm going to back the Eagles plus the 3 on the road against the Browns.
What, 50-mile-an-hour wins again for like the third straight week in Cleveland?
Low scoring, not a lot of offense, maybe a Baker mishap or two. Eagles plus 3.
That's a steer clear. Those are two teams that I just still don't know much about.
Love it.
My love was yesterday Seattle's win, so I got 3 points for that.
Look at you. And a pizza. Two pizzas.
What do you want on the pizza?
We're sending you pizza.
No, I order them. You guys call in with a card.
Little Caesar's hot and ready. Little Caesar's hot and ready.
You guys don't play the pizza game very well.
No, I think we're playing the game well.
It's Friday night. It's pizza night. What else do you eat on Friday?
So order it.
Pizza?
You got to tell us what you want and where to order it from.
I'm not ordering pizza tonight. It's not in my plans.
What, do you got, a meal plan?
What's wrong with you guys?
Hold on. Can you just buy the guy a dang pizza?
For the love of everything good and pure in this world.
Just trying to get our Friday on. All right, Waddle, what's your taste?
My taste is the Pats, minus 2 at Houston. Come on. Oh. Texans aren't very good.
Neither are the Pats, but
they're going to find a way to get themselves another dub.
Vanderbilt's been outscored 215-99 this year. I'm going to take
stinks.
Florida minus 31.5.
All of Jay's teams stink. The Vandy, Denver, and the Bears. What do you got, Black?
All right, guys. Late night Pac-12 football. Utah, USC.
Oh, no.
I am a huge USC supporter. And this team has looked like absolute crap with 2 victories this year.
Trash.
Clay Helton does not know how to prepare his group. Kyle Whittingham, though.
You've been hating him for years.
Yeah, because he sucks. Yeah, absolutely. But here's the key. Utah always plays them tough. And Utah is the underdog. They're getting 2.5 points. Even though I think USC hopefully could win the game, I'm backing Utah for the pick. I'm going to take a taste of the Utes.
Okay, yeah. Taste of the Utes.
There you go.
So are the boosters.
I'm going to tell Big Cat to stick it. I'm going to tell Merkin to stick it. I'm backing the Wildcats, Northwestern at home. And I stick it to the governor, too, because he's not letting me play this game because there are stupid college rules on Illinois State gambling. I want Northwestern as the home dog. They're a 7.5-point dog. Give me the points. Give me Northwestern.
What's crazy is I like giving out picks that everyone can bet, but also sorry, Sylvie. This is the so I used S&P Plus for college a lot, as I mentioned it a lot.
No.
This is the biggest discrepancy of the week. Wisconsin's a 7.5-point favorite. S&P Plus has them as a 15.5-point favorite.
Now I'm doubling down. Move them up to my love and take Seattle. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, Wisconsin's going to roll Northwestern.
If you want to double up on a pizza, I'm good with my pizza.
You want double toppings?
You took your pizza.
A pizza in the hand.
Would you like double meat with that, sir?
I bet you they're going to serve me up double meat.
And some sausage.
What to watch for coming up next.
Watch out for your pizza.
The 4 o'clock hour of Waddle and Sylvie is brought to you by the Home Loan Expert. Have you locked in on your refinance yet? Do what I did. What are you waiting for? Apply online today with their 5-minute loan approval. It's only available at thehomeloanexpert.com.
It's Waddle and Sylvie.
Hi.
Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN _ Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
All right, a lot coming up. We got some football conversation, the holiday parody song.
competition, you heard that right, we haven't talked about it much, is coming back.
It's
We've got details as we get set for Thanksgiving here in less than a week. But right now, we want to take you into your weekend. It's called What to Watch For, and it's brought to you by Swift and Sons.
Waddle and Sylvie get you set for your weekend viewing with What to Watch For.
That's right, Swift and Sons, right near Chris Black's West Loop home. It's in the Fulton Market District, and it is absolutely awesome. The Boca Restaurant Group gives you the Chicago Steakhouse with a modern twist. Kevin Bame, Rob Katz are great partners, are great friends, and also Restaurateurs of the Year nationally. Their executive star chef, Chris Pandel. You got to take out and deliver from and get delivery from them. You got to support these great local restaurants. So they do have takeout and delivery for you right now. And if you're thinking of what you're trying to do for Thanksgiving, Thanksgiving to go can be purchased through Taco. It's exploretalk.com/SwiftandSons Chicago. Sports or television, what are you going with, Waddle?
I watched episode one of a new documentary on HBO last week after episode four of The Undoing. And the name of the doc is Murder on Middle Beach.
Damn it.
Did I take the one that you had?
It looks good. It looks really good,
it's
right?
Really good.
It is. It's a good story about a kid, not a kid, he's an adult now, but he's doing a documentary on the murder of his mom. And the father was implicated early on.
Don't give anything away.
So is it true crime or is it a...
No, it's true.
No, it's true.
It's true.
Yeah, it's a documentary. It's an HBO documentary. I saw episode one last week, and it is very, very good. It's called Murder on Middle Beach.
The dad was very well-to-do at one point, right?
Yes.
And then he was very. And then he didn't pay child support or anything like that.
Yes.
I watched most of that first episode as well. And for those who have not watched The Undoing yet,
it's good.
That it's the Nicole Kidman show. I believe there's going to be six of them. I think five is coming up, episode five on Sunday. It's really a good show.
It is good.
It's a whodunit. I can't wait till Sunday.
Whodunit.
So, you know, those are all the shows, and I can't wait for Yellowstone to watch season three of Yellowstone to get into it this weekend.
There's some other shows. What's the show that's coming on soon with Cranston? What's his name?
Bryan Cranston.
Isn't there a new show that he's in that's coming out soon as well?
I got to look it up.
I watched episode one of Dark Sky, too.
You do binge a lot.
Listen, I go back and remember that I watched all of...
Are you thinking of Your Honor?
Is that it? Is that what it is?
Yeah.
With Bryan Cranston?
Yeah,
that's Bryan Cranston. Where can I get that one? Look that up. I'll give you mine really quick because I've given you
Showtime.
A ton of television shows recently. I watched Queen's Gambit again last night. Have any of you guys dove into Queen's Gambit?
No, I've read about it this week and I want to join. Yeah, I want to get into it.
It's really a good... It's a fun show. What I'm just going to give you some sports. I'm going Chiefs, Raiders. Waddle, I think you had that pick.
Yeah.
You were going with the Chiefs. This is another quarterback envy game. Derek Carr's having a sneaky good year. It's a Sunday night game. Sunday night game, so I'm all in on that one, especially with no Bears. What do you guys have?
God, that sounds so pathetic. You have quarterback envy over Derek Carr.
Yeah, I take Derek Carr.
He's playing well. I'm not knocking
him.
Remember in the offseason
that there was talk that he may be available?
Think about how sad our pathetic Bears lives have become, that we're envious of Derek Carr. By the way, I think some Swift and Sons is what I'm going to order this weekend.
That's good.
I think that's on the
docket. Can't go wrong there.
I think that's definitely going to happen in the neighborhood. So, Bedlam, I am interested in Oklahoma, Oklahoma State college football ranked matchup. I'm going to watch that on ABC on Saturday night. Also, I'm an episode behind on The Undoing, and you guys are both right. You nailed it. That show is awesome.
Good.
So I can't wait to catch up and then get the new episode on Sunday. So those are the two things I'm keeping my eyes on, plus Northwestern was scout.
Ooh, there you go. Yeah.
And then USC, Utah, late at night, 9:30. That's a late one. That's going to be good.
Asleep. I'm old.
Mm-hmm. Abdallah, really quick, what do you got?
It's chaos season, boys. That's what we root for.
Get weird.
Indiana, Ohio State. Can number 9 Indiana pull off an upset? Can they keep it close? Can it be watchable in the fourth quarter?
You know what I'm watching? I'm watching the Twitch presentation of your college football show. That's what I'm doing.
You will not. I guarantee you, you will not be in the Twitch chat tomorrow.
Notre Dame is idle this week, but does that does not mean that Chicago's college tailgate is idle. We're on from 11 to 2 p.m. this week, or 11 a.m. to 2 p.m.
I'll be watching on Twitch. That's
what I'm watching. There is no chance that that happens.
Probably.
Zero. All right, coming up in 2 short minutes, do you like it when the national media talks smack about our football team? Is that actually good for business? We'll play you something, and we'll discuss that in 2 short minutes.